Can everyone hear me? Okay, Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How fitting is this message of hope for the new year that has just begun? Last year definitely had its ups and downs, but when we contemplate on starting it all over again, it could get very overwhelming. The world nowadays works at a very fast pace depending on where you live. Everyone seems to want things right now or else. With computers on our hips, at work, at school, everything seems attainable right now, and there's no excuse why we can't have what we want instantaneously. But it is very consumer-driven. These corporations know what you want even before you thought of it. There are some hipsters out there. Back in my day, the hipsters were the cool people who have decided to turn in their smartphones for dumb phones just to be cool. Dumb phones are the ones without internet access. All this being said, the Lord put it on my heart to speak about waiting on the Lord. This was a very difficult one to write, being that I'm subjected to a very fast-paced environment on a daily basis. And this is not just at work either. When I'm able to surf each week, I have to deal with 100 other guys trying to catch the same wave I am. With the Lord by my side, I often wonder how I get myself into these sometimes frustrating situations. Lamentations 3:24-30. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. All of us want to try to keep up with this ever-changing, always progressing world, but is this what the Lord wants? For some people, yes, and for some people, no. We need to ask the Lord what he wants for us and stop taking what he doesn't desire for us because it's not beneficial to our walk with him and a bad example to those he has put in our lives to minister to. Daniel was an excellent example of a person who waited on the Lord. From what I gathered reading his book, Daniel came from a royal family or from someone of nobility. And then Daniel 1:3-5. And you guys could turn to it. There's kind of a lot of information here from Daniel that I'm going to be reading through. And I'll kind of pause when we get to them. So, Daniel 1:3-5. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. So you can say that Daniel might have been well off in life. Imagine being uprooted from all that and taken into captivity. It had to have been mentally and physically debilitating, but as we read about him, we see a beautiful servant of the Lord. Daniel 1:6-21. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief officials gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned you food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every manner of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel's perseverance for the things God desired resulted in God finding favor towards him. In Daniel 9:23, it says, "As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed." God was pleased with Daniel, not only for his perseverance, but for waiting with him so that God could fulfill all that was planned for Judah and Israel. Daniel knew he had a purpose and was diligent in praying to God, waiting for his answers, and having that assurance when things were about to go bad, and it did, that God and his angels were right there with him. Daniel was used by God in many ways. We all attribute his story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. But he was almost put to death because King Nezer wanted his magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to explain a dream to him, but wouldn't tell anyone what that dream was about. Daniel fell into that category and was almost put to death because of it. The Lord seemed to keep Daniel very busy. He had a very high position in society, but was still able to pray 3 times a day. Babylon was kind of like the United States of its time. We see throughout this book King Nebuchadnezzar fall back to his own worthless idols several times before he finally acknowledges the one true God. Our country does the same thing year after year, very fair weather towards God. We tend to need him when times are bad and forget him when times are good. Nebuchadnezzar was very arrogant in this way, which often will reflect to his society because he is the leader. Daniel waited on the Lord when times were good and when times were bad. There's a big change in the story right about the middle of the book that happens throughout the entire Bible. We see in the beginning of the story Daniel praying to God like this. Daniel 2:20-23. "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Basically a prayer to thank God for getting him out of trouble. Then we see this other prayer, one that seems familiar throughout the entire Bible. Daniel 9:1-23. "In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, Alamedi by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 77 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servant the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us, because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us, against our rulers, by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolation or your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. This was Daniel's confession of sin and the sin of his people. They were so complacent about God in that period of time that they had turned their backs on him. I don't even think they thought what they were doing was wrong. God used this captivity of 77 years to teach them patiently about his love for them and how falling into worldly patterns can lead to death and destruction. Daniel was basically a free man in Babylon. He had a great job to perform. He was able to interpret dreams in the beginning of his captivity, but just like Kip was saying about Simeon last week, what was Daniel feeling? Like, how did he go about life being in a foreign country? Was it fear that brought him close to God? I know that the fear of God usually works with me. Was he just putting in his time knowing that 77 years was a lifetime? When we get to chapter 10, Daniel has a vision by the Tigris River, and an angel of God tells him in verse 12, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." Daniel's confessions was that humbleness before God that caused angels to come and Daniel to know that God had a plan, and that plan takes time sometimes. There were battles being fought with angels and demons to establish rulers and to overthrow them. Daniel got to see a lot of this in his visions, all because he waited patiently for God's answers to prayers. We never see Daniel complain. He got tired and weak from the visions, but always was ready to do God's bidding. He also accepted his duties from God, knowing fully that he was stuck there in Babylon for the rest of his life. And God blessed him there for that. We are all in this world, but not of this world. God finally talks to Daniel clearly about his own personal salvation at the end of this book. I know the visions confused Daniel a bit, but the salvation that God talks about to Daniel must have been... a great encouragement. Daniel 12:13. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest. And then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. This year can get overwhelming, and I know everyone's walk with the Lord is different. But if we wait on God for answers, the Holy Spirit, our counselor, and comforter will help us through. Paul describes his walk as a race with runners. Runners must train to compete, and a huge part of God's training is putting on the full armor of God and learning how to use it. The Holy Spirit is right there with us, patiently guiding us through the process until we get good at it, and then he gives us more responsibility. And we accept it knowing that we won't fail with him guiding us. His encouragement strengthens us to keep up with the race that is set before us. So to conclude, Psalms 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and who in spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds a man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord, be glad you righteous, sing all you who are upright in heart.
Thank you.